Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with Opel. The all-new Opel Mokka. With a new visor front face and pure panel interior, this is Opel.
Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.
At this stage, many of us have all but exhausted every drama and comedy series we can find. But if the recent political wranglings over Boris Johnson's flat, the prospect of a by-election in Dublin Bay South, or even the DUP leadership race have whetted your appetite to delve into some political intrigue, we've got you covered this morning to discuss their favourite political biopics, films and documentaries. I'm joined now by columnist and broadcaster Lise Hand and also by Johnny Fallon, Strategic Director of Car Communications. And we rub our hands with glee. This is going to be great. Lise, we're going to start by looking at some of the series out there. You're going to start with the most famous political series of them all, The West Wing. That one works for you. You love it.
Yes, always have. And I actually know several people that during the last year went back and watched the box set as a kind of warm, fuzzy escapism. And, you know, it is the ultimate, I suppose it's the ultimate political series because it was so idealistic. It had this, you know, fantastically caring, you know, figure in the White House and a marvellous ensemble cast, you know, whizzy dialogue, really interesting stories. And it was just when it first landed on our screens in 1999, you know, everybody just fell in love with it. Mm. Anybody, all political geeks did.
Did you go back and watch it again recently, in recent times?
I actually went back and watched the last series. Now, everybody talks about series 1 to 4. They were the ones that were written by Aaron Sorkin. And they are highly praised and rightly so and won lots of Emmys because of their dialogue, plotting and script. But in advance of the last year's American election, I went back and watched the last series, series 7. And I actually thought it stood up very well. It did capture the excitement and the madness and the chaos of an election campaign. And I think that secretly a lot of political wonks sort of identified with the different characters. I'd say a lot of political wonks, you know, sort of centre-right guys or sort of centre-left. Oh, everybody wanted to be Josh Lyman, you know, that sort of thing. So, it paved the way for an awful lot of the political series that came after.
And then the ones that came after it, we have Veep.
Yes, we did. We had Veep, which again, I absolutely loved. Of course, it had a strong female lead, and that's what I loved as well. And there was a couple of others that had strong female leads, and I loved them for that. And, you know, Julia Louis-Dreyfus, who played Selina Meyer. It was brilliant because it was profane and brash and malicious and full of self-serving characters and mm-hmm. you know, yes, people just waiting to stab the main character in the back. Brilliant dialogue, but I loved it before the fact that they just had a really strong female lead and lots of other really strong characters as well, and I think it was a very good reflection of the workings of politics, that the fact that you can have a politician who's all smiles on the outside, closes the door and this turns into a complete another monster.
Yeah, I think the best of the whole lot of them, though, Johnny, and you might come in on this one, is The Thick of It. I just loved the irreverence of it. You know, you were, when it aired first, I think we were all shocked, weren't we, that this was on the telly?
Yeah, I think it was one of those series where, you know, just the language, the approach, everything that it was saying, I think people were like, oh my God, you know. But it gave that real insight into a different level of politics, different style of it. Again, like others, it's probably responsible, unfortunately, for a generation of advisors, I think particularly in the UK, who think that politics is like that all the time. You know, whereas in reality, it's used a lot more sparingly. But it did cast a light, I think, on maybe in an extreme way, but on what it is like when sometimes the temperature gets turned up and that backroom side of needing someone who actually calls a spade and actually says what they mean all the time.
I nearly forgot that it gave us some new words. One of them is omni shambles. That's fine to say on the radio. The other one we're not allowed to, but it starts with cluster. That was a great one.
Yeah, I think it was. I think the main character, Nicola Murray, described Malcolm Tucker as the PM's all swearing eye, which I thought was a great description.
I want to mention Mrs. America as well. Yes. That's a newer one. I haven't seen that. I think it is still available. And by the way, if you want to see any of these, we've put a list up on our website. You can go and find them there. And we've told you, I think in the main, where you can find all of these pieces to watch again. Mrs. America, you liked that one?
I really liked it. I mean, it stars Cate Blanchett, who of course is wonderful, as Phyllis Schlafly. And it was a really interesting angle because it looked at the sort of the 1970 civil rights era and the whole feminist movement, but really through the eyes of Phyllis Schlafly, who was a fascinating character. Who she was really the forerunner of the Tea Party, in the Conservative Tea Party today. The Equal Rights Amendment was wandering through Congress without any great difficulties, and she mobilised conservative women base opposing it, basically saying that equal rights for women meant that women would be conscripted into the army. Mm-hmm. It might have, you know, it might affect their alimony payments in divorce and so on, so on. And it was incredibly successful. And this series concentrates on her, and she's this sort of wonderful, kind of steely and submissive at the same time. I mean, absolutely, you know, a fantastic figure. And looks at the sort of feminist movement and Gloria Steinem and Betty Friedan and all the other women who suddenly were faced with this in this movement, this sort of conservative anti-lib movement, and they didn't know how to handle it. Mm-hmm. So it's sort of looking at that whole feminist movement from a very different angle, and she's so compelling, and it's beautiful to look at as well.
Let's put that on the list for this weekend. Johnny, people will know your own background working with the Fianna Fáil Party, and your first pick is Legacy, Brian Lenehan. Now, this is available on the RTE Player. Why, in your view, is this worth a look?
I think it is. It's well worth a look, with a particularly strong documentary on the late Brian Lenehan Jr. And yeah, I suppose, look, it's a fascinating, because it was a fascinating time in Irish politics. Because you were looking at someone like Brian Lenehan Jr. came to politics, his father having been a major political figure, one of those massive big dynasties of Irish politics, although he hated that term himself. But in particular, in the Legacy documentary, you get a real sense, because they really get down to people who knew him on a very personal level. And you know, as we were saying earlier, as Lise was saying there, you know, as you see in some of the fiction shows, sometimes what people see as a politician, even their colleagues, even the people around them, other cabinet ministers, is not who they are. What you get a sense of someone from is the people they have to spend all day with on canvas trail or something like that. Those people have a very different insight into a politician. And it was a particularly good insight into Brian Lenehan, who was, you know, came to it rows within Fianna Fáil that stunted his career at times. Then he becomes minister. Then he's promoted to Minister for Finance at the worst time one could possibly hold that ministry, if you were looking for your own legacy to be remembered. And of course, then his own tragic battle, and the Lennons have always had that touch of tragedy about the entire family that's tended to follow them around in stories, makes it a very personal documentary. But set against what we now know, the distance as we look back on that financial crisis, the decisions that were taken, it is a fascinating insight into a key figure.
Even hearing you talk about it, Lise, brings you back to the despair, the divisiveness of politics at that time, the vitriolic abuse that was directed at people who were in power. It's just a very, very difficult time in our recent history.
It is. It absolutely is. I mean, it was just that the mood was so sour, and there was so much despair around as well. And it was taken out on the kind of the political establishment. And I think it'd be very interesting, maybe in 10 years time, I would be very interested to see a documentary made about that time, and just to sort of see it through the prism of distance, because I think it's still very close to a lot of people.
Mm-hmm. And the other thing that's very close to us is Enda Kenny's time as Taoiseach. And you believe that the documentary, again in the RTE Player, called Enda, is also worth watching, Johnny, even though we don't have the benefit of time here to analyse.
Yeah, we don't have the benefit of time, but we have a little bit of time. And it is fascinating how our views of politicians so often alters after they've begun to go out of the limelight, and we get a little bit look back, even a couple of years distance on it. But again, I think if you're looking at the Brian Lenehan one, then you follow it with the Enda one. There's a nice pattern to that in just seeing then how Enda Kenny has developed as a politician who, you know, by the standards of all previous Taoiseach before him, you know, he hadn't come from the heavy-hitting ministries. He hadn't come from being, you know, one of the top dogs at the top table, the big hitters, you know, at that stage. He spent a lot of time in the political Michael Wilderness, holding a tourism ministry for 2 years, then going against Michael Noonan and finding, you know, himself in the wilderness for a while after that. Coming back as Taoiseach, people said, oh, well, you know, he's not up to it against Bertie. He'll have no hope against Brian Cowan. Look, circumstance, call it what you like, but Enda was the person people trusted in 2011. The country turned to him, and he just had the right thing at the right time that people looked for, which was that trace of honesty. And I think, again, in that documentary, in following his career, I think it does show that thing as to why people felt, look, right now, that's what they needed in Enda Kenny. And it's a big part of that transition in politics that has been happening over the last decade.
All right, Lise, our next pick is a movie, and we're going back in time now to Michael Collins. And you think this is worth checking out, but you're also involved in how this came to be.
Well, I was actually involved. It was actually in the name of the father I was involved in, which, again, is, you know, going back into the past. And yeah, it was one of those things. The name of the father was directed by Jim Sheridan, and I gave him the original book to read, Proved Innocent, which is written by.
Were you friends with Jim Sheridan?
Yes, I was friends with Jim. Still am. Yeah, friends with Jim Sheridan, and I gave him Proved Innocent, which is the book that Jerry Conlon wrote on his release, and. Jim took a real shine to it and bought the film rights were actually owned by Gabriel Byrne at the time. So he negotiated. Gabriel Byrne came on board as an executive producer. And Jim brought me in initially with the usual chaotic carry-on that Jim loves. I was brought in as a researcher when they were himself and Terry George writing the script. And that was absolutely fascinating. And then I kind of became a bit of a sort of general factotum on the set and ended up also casting extras for right. Some of the big scenes. And I mean, it was absolutely fascinating. And I think one of the things I think that was really interesting was at the time, there was genuine, we were being fairly carefully watched, I think, by, and the film itself, you know, by the British establishment, and because it was the first time that a story, like a really independent story, had been told about an incident, you know, like arising from our troubled sort of modern history. And so there was great interest in it and great scrutiny and observation of it. But it was absolutely, it was just one of the most amazing experiences of my life. It was absolutely brilliant.
Working with people
like Daniel Day-Lewis.
But to be involved in handing the book to somebody and then to see it come to fruition and then to witness the success of the film once it was out.
Oh, I mean, it was absolutely fantastic. And, in part of the research, I got to sort of, you know, look back over transcripts of the original interviews that the four did when they were first lifted. And, you know, even reading those, I was going, how did anybody think these guys did it? So to see the germ of the film in Jim Sheridan's mind, and then it turned into the film, and then it ended up in Hollywood and was nominated for several Oscars, which I got to go to, which was very nice.
And you would also recommend Michael Collins, even though you weren't involved in that,
despite me trying
to foist that on you.
Even though I wasn't, I'd love to have been, because it was an absolutely great film. And again, to see such an iconic Irish figure get the sort of Hollywood treatment. A lot of people argued about the, you know, there were various historic liberties taken in it. But you know what? It was still such a great film, and it still stands up to a watch every now and then with a big bucket of popcorn.
Okay, now, Johnny, for you, a movie that stands out is Wag the Dog. Maybe we'll take a listen to a clip from Wag the Dog and then we'll have a chat about it.
There's a crisis in the White House.
What's the crisis?
And the president's top advisors have been called together.
Oh, jeez.
The sexual misconduct occurred inside the Oval Office. With the election only days away, how much will this scandal affect the outcome?
The president spent the weekend pressing the flash. He wasn't campaigning, he was dating, actually.
Now, Washington's top spin doctor.
We can distract the press for 11 days till the election. I think we got a chance.
Has an idea.
We can't afford a war.
We're gonna have the appearance of a war.
But he can't pull it off without Hollywood's top producer.
Do I know you?
We have some mutual friends in Washington.
Why come to me?
We want you to produce.
You want me to produce your war?
Not a war, it's a pageant. We need a theme, a song, some visuals. We need, you know, it's a pageant.
The president's gonna go to war with Albania in about 30 minutes.
Albania's hard to rhyme.
Albania, Albania.
That rhymes.
That's Wag the Dog, Johnny. Why should we watch this one?
Yeah, I think it's at the time it was considered an extreme version of maybe what goes on in the back rooms of politics, but maybe not so extreme anymore considering some of the things we know. But it is fascinating as a film. It's very entertaining, great watch, but it's also, I mean, anybody who has been involved in backroom politics knows this, and it's a great set of, you know, look, they've got to come up with an idea to get the president out of this difficulty. They create this image of a war, but it's a valuable lesson too in how, especially in politics, you never have just one good idea. One good idea has to be followed by about 10 other good ideas because you keep getting into another mess. And as they create this fake war to divert attention, they keep having to go one step further. They have to find a soldier who's behind the lines. Then that soldier, when they get him and they manage to fly him back, he's not exactly what they wanted. You end up with Willie Nelson writing songs about it, the whole country taken in by this, and you know, these guys in the background just trying to get away with it. Mm-hmm. And there is a few hairy moments for them in it as you look at it. And you think, I suppose the deeper lesson for political nerds in it is that, you know, yeah, you know, it's one thing after another, one problem. Problem after another, and how do you find solutions to each problem as you go?
Okay, I want to come back to Ireland now and back to reality. This is a project written by Colin Murphy, The Guarantee. It's available on iTunes to rent. The attention to detail here is spectacular. It's a painful reminder again of the bank guarantee, but so worth watching.
Tisha, will you be intervening to support the banks?
We have 10 hours to fix this.
You are the finance minister of a sovereign democratic member state. You have to do the best by your people.
All we need is to get Anglo through to the end of the week.
We need the moolah. You have it. You're going to give it to us, and when will that be?
It's not about a rogue bank anymore. It's about the system. You need to think about the system. It's about confidence. Now, we don't want anyone abusing the guarantee.
Well, one thing that does, Johnny, is gives us a really true account of what happened.
It was an excellent production. Colin Murphy did huge work on the research of this, which he deserved massive credit for, because it's actually a very fair portrayal, a very strong portrayal of life inside the cabinet during what was an extraordinary time, and the pressures that they were under and the misconceptions they were operating under in many times are really brought to bear. Again, when you've a bit of distance behind the raw emotion of what it did to us all and the implications of what happened after that, we have a bit of distance from that. It is fascinating to look back.
Absolutely.
Because it really does give that power play a real insight into it.
I want to go back to the United States now, Lise. This next one is just such a cringe for me. I had to watch it through my fingers. This is Wiener.
It's Republicans wrapping their arms around Republicans rather than doing the right thing on behalf of the heroes.
It was an absolute pleasure to see a Democrat not cowering.
Married to one of Hillary Clinton's closest advisors.
He never backed down from anybody.
A photo of an anonymous man's bulging underwear
was tweeted from Congressman Wiener's account.
Today I am announcing my resignation from Congress.
The punchline is true about me. I did the dumb thing, but I did a lot of other things too.
Like, it's hard to watch, but it's fascinating.
Oh, I actually watched this just like you, literally from between my fingers.
Yeah.
It was, I mean, it is an extraordinary thing. It's, you know, it's a 2016 Fly on the Wall documentary that was, it set out to follow the comeback, the great comeback to politics of Anthony Weiner, who, as we hear, resigned in disgrace from Congress. And he ran in the mayoral election 2013 in New York. And there was a Fly on the Wall camera crew that went with him. And what happened was a second sex scandal exploded. Now, you think, you know, in the middle of this campaign, you think that any right-thinking person would have sent the cameras packing, but he didn't. And this documentary literally follows him around as his, not only his political campaign falls apart, but his marriage to whom, Abedin, almost falls apart. It is, you have to watch it, but you will be behind the couch. Because,
you will, yeah. You will for sure. All of those recommendations are up on our website now, including some great picks from the RTE Doc on One, which Johnny came up with. So they're all there for you to have a look at. I highly recommend you check in. Johnny Fallon and Lise Han, thank you both very much indeed.
Email todaycb@rte.ie.